We're going to look tonight at the characteristic of prudence. A lot of people don't even understand that term. But prudence, or being prudent, is having good sense. My daddy used to say horse sense. I'm not sure if horse sense is good, but he said that's what I needed. So I was two at the time. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. Having good sense in dealing with practical matters. Carefully considering consequences. Using good judgment to consider likely consequences and acting accordingly. Careful in managing resources as to provide for the future. Prudence. Told you a number of times different stories about time I spent in the Marine Corps. One particular one is didn't happen to us. It happened to the unit just in front of us as we were getting ready to go into a training exercise. And they were doing a night mission, a training mission at night. And typically on a night mission, they put a little bitty dot of a glow stick just in the back of your helmet. I mean, a tiny dot so that the guy behind you can follow and not get lost from the rest of people, because it was very, very, very dark where we were at. And the lead guy had a compass and supposedly knew where he was going and made a mistake and walked off a cliff, a pretty significant cliff. And multiple Marines followed him off that cliff. At some point, somebody stopped and thought, you know, that light's disappearing awful quick. I don't think I'm going to take another step, you know. The Bible says that you foresee the evil and hide yourself. We'll get to that verse a little bit later on. I can't remember now. It's been so long ago, but I know multiple guys broke legs and all this kind of stuff because they simply just following the guy in front of me. If your friends jump off a cliff, will you jump off too? Apparently, right? What's that? Did you say Marine Corps, Bob? Something came out of your throat. It's interesting. Prudence really is a heart issue. And we're in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 15. Notice what the Word of God says. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Proverbs 16, 21 says, the wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. So really, prudence is not just a learned characteristic as in an outward learned characteristic. It's something that happens in our heart. We've talked a lot about the heart issue when it comes to characteristics anyway. But it's developed as we get to know God and as we get to know His Word, that we learn to see danger coming. Now, all of you know how to recognize it, especially those of you that have had children. Because at some point or another, you've tried to teach your children a little bit about prudence. Like, son, if you jump from there, the landing is going to hurt, right? if you've had little babies, you'd notice they don't have a real awareness of things. So they'll turn around on a bed and just fall off backwards because they don't understand that this is going to be a long fall off the couch or anything else, right? It's something that you have to teach them, hey, be careful here. So it's important for us to understand as we look at what the Word of God has to say tonight that we must be prudent, one, to avoid sin, because the devil would love to lay traps for us. And he wants to lay them, obviously, to look good. He doesn't lay them to look bad. He doesn't put pictures of what wickedness really looks like. He makes it look different. So we have to be prudent to avoid sin. But then we have to be prudent for the sake of others as well. What's going to happen to other people around us as we look to this? So let's look at a number of things that the Word of God says about this characteristic. So a prudent person is, we're going to try to start with that sentence each time. Okay, a prudent person is, number one, conscientious. They're conscientious. Proverbs 12 and verse 16, a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. In other words, he's not interested in exposing people for the sake of exposure. And he works to minimize the shame that may come with their choices. He said, oh, wait a minute. I thought we should confront sin. Okay, there's a difference in confronting sin with a minimum of, if you will, shame or reproach on that person, and a confronting sin with the purpose of shaming them or reproaching them. There's a big difference in those two. And Proverbs 10 and verse 12 says, hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. Proverbs 17 and verse 9 says, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. You think of some examples in the Word of God as I was working through this, and I thought, okay, where's the balance of confronting sin, but not doing so for the purpose of shaming them? And my mind immediately went to Jesus and the woman taken in adultery. Do you remember the story in John chapter 8, verses 4 and following? That's an amazing story to me on a number of accounts. Number one, the men bring this lady to Jesus, and they make this statement. She was taken in adultery, or caught in adultery. The next few words were, in the very act. Now, you may not be real bright, but how many people does it take to have adultery, right? It takes two. So where's the guy? That's the first thing that jumps off the page here. It's like, oh, so you bring the lady, but you don't bring the guy. There was a problem there in that process anyway. Was she wrong? Yes. Was she in sin? Yes. How did Jesus deal with it? Knelt down and began to just scribble on the ground until none of those that were there to shame her were left. And then he said, where are your accusers? They're not here. They're gone. And the Lord said, neither do I accuse thee, but don't miss the last part. Go and sin no more. It wasn't that he was okay with her sin. There was no point in unnecessarily embarrassing her. So prudence is conscientious. Do you delight in others' misfortune? Are you sensitive to what others may be feeling? And others may be feeling different than you're feeling. Have you ever thought about that? Most of the time, we think like we think, right? Isn't that good? That's deep, isn't it, Brother Kevin? Yeah. We don't try to even put ourselves sometimes in the situation of other people. But all kinds of people handle things all kinds of different ways. And we want to try to say, okay, how can I be prudent in dealing with this person for their particular needs? So a prudent person is conscientious. Number two. A prudent person is concealing. And you're like, well, we just talked about now. This is a totally different ballgame. This is dealing with the idea of humility. Proverbs 12 and verse 23, the Bible says, a prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. That verse was probably written for social media. I'm just sure it was. Okay? I don't know. It's like the Holy Spirit said, 2,000 years from now, there's going to be this phenomenon out there, and we need a verse for that, you know? A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. In other words, he doesn't tell everyone everything that he knows. This would mean he learns to keep quiet, even if he has more knowledge about a subject than the people that are talking to. That would be a good thing for college freshmen to practice too. It's humble. It's not necessarily saying all that I know in the process. Again, we think of our Lord. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 and verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. When they walked by him and said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Did he have an answer for that? He didn't, but he did. He didn't spout it, but he certainly could have given them an answer. But he didn't do so. When the two on the road to Emmaus says to him, are you the only one that doesn't know what's going on in Israel? He actually was the only one that knew what was going on in Israel. They didn't know what was going on, right? It's amazing how we focus on that. So, does everybody have to know your opinion in a given situation? Do you offer opinions without being asked? It's not always wrong to offer an opinion in situations, but sometimes it's better off to just keep your mouth shut in the process. That's showing some prudence there. So a prudent person is conscientious. A prudent person is concealing, or they're humble. Number three, a prudent person, and I put this in quotes, creates knowledge. They create knowledge. Now, I'm going to explain that here in just a minute. Proverbs 14 and verse 15 says, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Proverbs 13:16. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. This word dealeth is an interesting word. The word dealeth means to do, or to work, or to make, or to produce. So let's go back and look at that verse. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge. Okay, he works with knowledge. He produces knowledge. He makes knowledge. Now, does that mean he comes up with new things all the time? No, I believe what the context is telling us is that a prudent man is constantly learning. In other words, he is constantly gathering information and adding to his repertoire of things. He's trying to gather information from every source he possibly can. He is constantly learning. He is constantly listening. He's constantly reading, and he's applying it. Not just adding knowledge for the sake of knowledge, but he's applying it to his everyday life over and over and over again. So are you working on gaining, or creating, if you will, knowledge by being more willing to listen than to talk in a given situation? Do you take knowledge and then apply it or use it? In other words, am I taking this knowledge and am I trying to figure out, okay, how can I use this in a variety of situations? Or perhaps I don't really need to know as much about this subject as I do about this subject, because this subject will help me in what God's called me to do, or whatever. So he, if you will, creates knowledge. He's constantly expanding, so that then he has a better idea of what's happening in the world out there. Number four, a prudent man is careful. This is what we typically think of when we think of prudence. That's the verse I quoted just a minute ago, Proverbs 14:15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Proverbs 22 and verse 3, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Proverbs 27 and verse 12. Different reference, exact same verse. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Charles Spurgeon said this, a thief can steal in a moment. Get this. A thief can steal in a moment, but the watchman must watch all night. Sin can undo in an unguarded second the character which required years to form. And God's asked us to be careful about things. We have to foresee, okay, what's going to happen there? What if this takes place? We're not talking about operating on fear. We're just trying to be careful. Okay, if I do this, what's the potential ramifications of that? Stuart Scott, in his book, Biblical Manhood, which is an excellent book, Biblical Manhood, Masculinity, Leadership, and Decision Making, tremendous book. He gives five questions to ask before you do something considered a freedom or a gray area. These are excellent questions. Okay, number one question. Will this choice be an opportunity for my sinful flesh to seek fulfillment? You're like, well, if it's sinful, we already know the answer to it. He didn't say it was sinful in and of itself, but will it be an opportunity for my sinful flesh to seek fulfillment? Romans 13, 14. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Galatians 5 and verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. 1 Peter 2 and verse 16. As free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. I've said this before, but it's a powerful statement. Freedom or liberty is the freedom or liberty to do right, not to do wrong. So many times people, and society at large today, will tell you that freedom means I can do whatever I want. That's not what freedom means. We got to be careful. So will this choice be an opportunity for my sinful flesh to seek fulfillment? How often does your sinful flesh want to be fulfilled? Let's try 24/7. That's how much it wants to be fulfilled. Constantly on guard. Number two, will this choice be inconsiderate or self-serving of someone else? In other words, it may not be wrong in itself, but is it inconsiderate of someone else? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So look not every man to his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So how do I view this in light of my brothers and sisters in Christ, in light of the people in my home, in light of the people I may potentially minister to? Will this choice be inconsiderate of someone else? The third question, will this choice cause someone else to fall into temptation? Take with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. You're familiar with this passage of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 8, 9 and following. 1 Corinthians 8, 9 and following. Paul says to the church at Corinth, a difficult church, a carnal church, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? For when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Paul says, offending a brother is more important that I not do it than it is for me to have this particular liberty of conscience, if you will. So will this cause someone else to fall into temptation? The fourth question that Stuart Scott asked is, will this lead me toward enslavement or addiction? Will it lead me toward enslavement or addiction? 1 Corinthians 6, 12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. That one verse are to settle the alcohol issue. Are to settle it right there. I don't want to be brought under the power of any. But for most of us, that's not really the issue, is it? What else could we be brought under the power of? Coffee? Ouch. Like, oh man, it really got quiet then, right? I know some of you love coffee. I got that. But hear me out for a minute. I'm being a little facetious, but I'm also being serious. I've had people say, I don't even have a good mood until I have my first cup of coffee. Okay, are you serious or are you joking? Because if you're serious, that's a problem, wouldn't you say? That you can't be in a good mood without your coffee? What if a guy said to you, I can't be in a good mood until I smoke a joint? Would you be okay with that? I would hope not, though that's becoming more and more popular. Nevertheless, can I tell you something where this applies to me? Food. That's where it applies to me. This is what I figured out. It's taken me a while to get to it, okay? But I emotionally eat. That's the deal. I eat when I'm happy. I eat when I'm sad. I mean, I'm serious. It is my go-to, okay? It is my go-to. And recognizing that has helped me, okay? When I'm emotional, that's what I want to go to, okay? When we left the hospital today, we'd been with Mike and Mary about 2 hours. Emotionally draining. I love doing it as a pastor, but it's emotionally draining. When I walked out of the hospital, I thought, I'd just like a big hamburger. That would surely help me, right? I mean, you say, did you literally think that? I literally thought that. Now, I have to bring that thought into captivity. I've recognized that. So instead, I had zucchini cake. Yeah. Like, was it good? Comparatively, or... Yes, it was good, you know. but that... Am I going to be brought into bondage? That's where the rubber meets the road. The fifth question, does this glorify God in every way, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God? So as I work through this aspect, am I careful? Can I ask myself those questions? Prudence says that just because I can do something doesn't mean I should do something. I've got these things to consider. Do you use your freedom as something to rub in others' faces? Do you do that? Do you rush into decisions? Are you careful? Number five, you got to hurry. A prudent man is correctable. In other words, he receives correction. Proverbs 15:5, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. The word regardeth here means to keep like a watchman. He observes it. He treasures it. I don't know about you, but when I looked at that definition, I'm like, do I actually treasure rebuke? I mean, it's good for me, and ultimately I may get to the thing, you know what, I really needed that. But when someone walks up and says, you're wrong in this area and you need to correct that in your life, do I go, I'm going to treasure this for the rest of my life? That's not how most of us respond initially to reproof, is it? But that's the idea here. But he that regardeth reproof is prudent. That word reproof means a rebuke, a correction, a punishment, a chastisement. Wow. He views correction as very valuable to him. He guards it as a precious gift. So how easy do you accept correction? Do you just endure it? Or do you treasure it? A friend sitting across the table. I am so glad you ripped me apart. I can't wait till the next time you do this to me. We probably don't respond that way, but we should treasure the fact that someone was willing to correct us. Number six. The prudent man is crowned with knowledge. Proverbs 14 and verse 18, the simple inherit folly, but the prudent man are crowned with knowledge. This word crowned means to be encircled or surrounded. And the word knowledge means a discernment, a skill, an understanding of a situation. In other words, the Bible is saying that the prudent man is encircled or surrounded with the ability to understand a situation. He's surrounded with discernment in a given situation. And he applies truth perfectly to it. by the way, this presupposes that you have knowledge, right? That you're gaining it, which goes back to earlier in the message. God can then take that and use it in your life. So do you use your knowledge to minister to others or to abuse others? The knowledge that God's given you. Do you feel the need to tell others about your crown? These are somewhat tied together, these characteristics. So based on these evaluations, how prudent are you? How prudent are you? Can you think of at least one area out of this list that you can improve on in your prudence? There's a whole host of things here that God says, hey, whoa, what about right there? So we got about 2 minutes tonight. Brother John, you got those mics here? If we can grab them just quickly, we don't have long. But where or what are some easy areas or ways to apply prudence? In other words, where are some easy ways or what are some ways that we can apply prudence? Parenting. Okay, parenting. Excellent, excellent. Someone else? Brother Jim Bishop? Driving. Driving. Brother Jeremiah, do you have your hand up? Okay, decision making. Is this a wise course of action? Brother Dale? Accountability. Excellent. Miss Joan? Okay, use of our finances. Good. Jason, yeah, we just wanted you to stand there and look good. All right, where are some hard ways or some hard areas in which to apply prudence? Where are some areas that are really difficult? Hold on there, come with the mic. Brother Kevin, go ahead. Yeah, what's that? A ton? The tongue. I thought a ton. Well, yeah, I know there's a ton. Okay, the tongue. Good. Brother McCree back here? Driving again. Yeah, that's true. It's true. Where else? Okay.
Up spiritually and to allow some of those freedoms, spiritual liberties to develop in our life as we went from a rule-bound to a relationship-bound life with Christ.
Okay, so the parenting limited their freedoms to help them to develop a relationship with Christ in that. We got to go, but let me ask you one more, and I've set you up with this question, so I'm going to tell you that up front, okay? How could quote-unquote prudence get you into trouble? Mm-hmm. You're like, well, wait a minute, prudence is a good thing. I know, that's why I put quote-unquote prudence. How could it get you into trouble?
Not doing what God says and do what you think you want to do anyway.
Okay, that would be part of it, not doing what God says, doing what you want to do in the process. RJ?
Rebuking the fool.
Being afraid to speak up. Okay, that's the direction I was thinking. You think, well, you know, I'm not gonna show my knowledge here or whatever. But when God wants you to speak up in particular areas, so that's the exact direction that I was going with some of these others. Lazarus, do you have one?
Thinking, rebuking the fool.
Say that again.
Rebuking the fool.
Okay, rebuking a fool. The Bible gives us warning about that. Excellent. And then last one for you to just think as you go home here. How do we primarily gain knowledge today? Think about that. How do we primarily gain knowledge today? And I'll give you the answer to that, through media. Most people primarily gain knowledge through media. And why could that be dangerous? And if you don't know the answer to that, we need to talk, right? And you're like, well, I watch conservative media. And that could be dangerous, all right? You're just saying all over the place that that's good. So I hope that God will work in your lives in the area of prudence. Father, thank you for this word. We need it. We need these reminders. Your precious son's name, we ask these things. Amen. Don't want to embarrass her, but it's good to see Robin back tonight. Glad you're here, Robin. Thank you for that. All right, great. Lord bless you. Let's see. Hold on just a second here. Let me just.